Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is the subway of free speech. It is a place where you go and you sit down and you're minding your own business. Joker comes up and like stabs you and sets fire to the train. That's what it's like. But you can speak freely about it. And that's the good thing. So go to republicbroadcasting.org. Buy your train ticket, buy your fare. It costs money because free speech ain't cheap. And National Bugle, no. What am I talking about? Republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the donate button. Jeremy, what do we have for the people?
Well, you can mail that donation to National Bugle. You can mail it to Republic Broadcasting Network. 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You can call that in with your credit or debit card to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. $100 worth of free speech gets you a free t-shirt or mug from RBN.
Okay. And also you can download the CoCertified app. Awesome new commercial, almost ready to go. But the CoCertified app, it's everything that you want to be, which is non-kosher certified. Okay, so why don't we start off with that subway story? What's that all about?
Well, I guess this is a USA Today article. Someone dressed as the Joker on a Tokyo train stabs passengers and starts a fire. He told police he wanted to kill. Now, this is something you don't see every day. You don't see every day here. I don't know. You're the expert on Japanese and subways. What's going on with this?
You know, there is something a little bit gruesome about Japanese subways, unfortunately. This is actually a commuter train, but although part of the way it is underground. Here's the thing. So Japan doesn't have a lot of guns, and so there's not a lot of gun shootings. But that doesn't mean you can't have mass killings. And so what you do tend to get are these mass stabbings. And maybe in America they wouldn't work as well, but in Japan, because of the population density, especially in Tokyo, the population density, you do get these things. So in past years, you've had mass stabbings. There was one in the Akihabara Electronic District, which is very, very crowded on the streets in on the weekend, you know, somebody jumps out of a truck and then just starts stabbing a bunch of people. A few years ago, you had a guy walk into an old folks home. And of course, you know, that's the old folk don't move too fast. He didn't like old people and just killed a bunch. I think he like stabbed like 27 people or something like that. The Tokyo subway, this is going back a bit, but I think it was 1995, was it? 94, 95, you had this Buddhist cult. The Omu Shindikyo, and they set off sarin bombs or sarin gas on the Tokyo subway, like in the some of the busiest train lines. And I don't know how many people died, maybe only 9 or 10 people died, but lots and lots of people were impacted. That guy got the death penalty.
Well, wait a minute. Buddhism. Number one, is Buddhism a thing in Japan? And number two, Buddhists are supposed to be, like, peaceful.
Yeah, well, this guy wanted to reduce the population of Japan by about 90%. So he had that whole, kind of Bill Gates style. And there was no coronavirus at the time and gene therapies. You didn't have that. So this guy had a compound out in the mountains. And the people who lived around the compound used to complain of weird smells. But this guy, he was a blind guru. But for some reason, he must have had a lot of charisma. He recruited a bunch of students from elite universities, and especially like chemists and biologists and whatnot. And, you know, it's kind of like this weird doomsday cult. And their plan was to reduce the population of Japan by like 80 or 90% and then establish a theocracy on the archipelago. And they carried out this plan.
So Bushido, So Buddhism is a thing in Japan? I thought Japan's thing was Bushido, the way of the samurai.
Japan's very eclectic in terms of religion. So it does have a Buddhist tradition. A lot, there are lots of Buddhists, but even most people will have a Buddhist funeral. They'll have a wedding that might be Shinto, but also might have like Christian segments to it as well. And, you know, they observe at least the more commercial aspects of Christmas. So they're very eclectic. But
Okay, so yeah. how does the Bushido code of the samurai interact with the Buddhists? You know, Bushido code of honor. You're not taken prisoner. You commit harakiri.
How to
say that right?
Harakiri. Yeah. Harakiri. Or seppuku. Yeah, it's cutting your ritual self disembowelment. Practice makes perfect.
So if your enemy defeats you, you're not taken prisoner. You take your small dagger out, which looks like a miniature samurai sword, a miniature katawa, and you shove that into your guts and twist it, and then your enemy, obliges you by taking your head off with his.
Well, usually it's your retainer. It's like your friend who will take off your head. And so, as far as I know, the last time that happened for real was Yukio Mishima in 1968 or so, he died at the KO hospital, but this was the KO train where the Joker came on, but did we talk about the Joker already? Yeah, I guess we did.
Getting back to it. Yeah, go ahead with your...
Get to it yet. Okay. But it happened for real. Like, there have been people, like captains who have wrecked ships, and they do the seppuku part, but they don't get their first mate to chop their head off. But Yukio Mishima actually went into the Ministry of Defense headquarters, and he and his retainers took it over for a while, and he made a big speech, and then he... committed ritual disembowelment, and his retainer tried to chop his head off, did his best, and then they carted the carcass over to the KO University Hospital. Anyway, though, that's I think I talked about that with Eric Stryker on this show a few years ago. At any rate, so on a commuter line going into Tokyo, the KO commuter line, on Halloween, so there was a man who dressed up like the Joker, started smoking cigarettes, smoking cigarettes, very jittery, and then stabbed a whole bunch of people and tried to set the train on fire. And there's video.
17 passengers injured, according to the Tokyo Fire Department.
And from what I last heard, nobody died yet, but there was a couple of people in critical condition.
Yeah. The attacker is identified as a 24-year-old man, and he was arrested on the spot and was being investigated on suspicion of attempted murder. His motive was not immediately known. Next question, is Halloween a thing in Japan?
Not really.
So someone dressed up in this garb probably would have been suspicious on Halloween night.
Would have been suspicious. I mean, Halloween's not... people know about Halloween from the movies and whatnot. And so you might have a Halloween party here or there, but it's not a big thing.
Well, Nippon Television reported that the suspect told police he wanted to kill and get a death penalty, and that he used an earlier train stabbing case as an example. That's interesting.
The earlier train stabbing case... I don't know much about it, but apparently the guy just wanted to kill happy-looking women. And wow. And this is sad because the whole incel thing in Japan is actually more advanced than it is here. It's been going on longer. Their birth rate is abysmal. You've got something like 30% or 40% of Japanese men in their late 20s have given up on ever having a girlfriend.
They could be good recruits to the white nationalist movement of incels.
They sure could.
Television footage showed a number of firefighters, police officials, and paramedics rescuing the passengers, many of whom escaped through train windows. In one video, passengers were running from another car where flames were gushing, so he set a whole car on fire.
Yeah, and in the video, you can see people jumping out through the windows, like at Cocodrilo Station, where I guess the train pulled up to a station, and people are just trying to get out any way they can. I don't know why. I would think the doors would automatically open, but probably people had already opened windows because of smoke and whatnot. You know, I said that the trains were kind of, there was a kind of grim aspect to them. And what is much more common than this, what's extremely common, as a matter of fact, is people deciding they want to kill themselves. Well, they don't have guns to shoot their brains out. So what do? They jump in front of trains.
Well, you know, according to Hollywood movies, the stereotype would be some Japanese samurai would jump out and, like, cut this guy in half or, you know, use karate and stop this man. But, I mean, in reality, I guess Japanese, Chinese, and Orientals in general are pretty much docile people, right? And they didn't know how to respond to this.
Well, from my memory in the 1980s, if you were walking around in Seoul, you might see fist fights. The Koreans are a lot more volatile and active. But in Tokyo, I saw a fight or two on a train, and I would feel free to intervene. I'd get between them because I knew nobody had a gun, and they're pretty normal. So in Korea, though, if I saw a fist fight, I would not intervene, because the Koreans are all, like, all the men are ex-military. So the heck with that. But the Japanese, you know, not so much. So there is that aspect of people jumping in front of trains. And the reason they do it is then it really impacts things, because if you jump in front of the train, especially, you know, a busy train, then they got to stop the trains and scrape you off the tracks, and it inconveniences maybe tens of thousands of people, and it makes your life meaningful or something. I don't know.
Well, let's pivot back to where we were last night. We ended up playing a Trump clip where he was on Jewish podcaster talking about how Israel controlled Congress until the last decade. Anyway, this makes me go on to the new movement of conservatism in America. And I sent you an article on this. Conference on National Conservatism to return for the first time post-Trump era. And this is from realclearpolicy.com.
Real Clear Politics?
Real Queer Politics. No, Real Clear Politics.
It really is.
RealClearPolicy.com. Conference on National Conservatism. This is the new name for conservatism, is National Conservatism. So they're trying to appeal to those with a sense of nationalism, but they want to make it as gay as they possibly can. Anyway, this article starts off saying, "What the hell is national conservatism anyway?" asked Park McDougald in a 2019 New York Magazine article about the first National Conservatism Conference held in July of that year in Washington. McDougald cast the event as an attempt to synthesize some of the disparate strands of the Trump-era populism and nationalism into something representing a coherent and intellectually respectable part of the conservative movement. By intellectually respectable, they mean not anti-Semitic and not racist, by the way. I'm just throwing that out.
Hopefully not.
So, Stephanie Slade of Reason griped that the conference was an indicator that if government infringements on personal liberty are the price of achieving good outcomes, conservatives are more than happy to pay it. That's an interesting statement. She's talking about how conservatism, who by and large would be against corona restrictions, she calls this an infringement on personal liberties. I guess she's talking about how conservatives are supposed to be against gays and abortion. Mm-hmm. And so that's the infringement. But there's a lot of cognitive dissonance that must be going on in these leftist heads when they call us what they call people that oppose, you know, homo marriages and abortion. They say that's infringing on the rights of the people and infringing on our democracy. But yet these same people go right along with the coronavirus measures and all the shutdowns, and they're fully on board with backing the state in coronavirus measures and Black Lives Matter and Antifa destroying our cities and infringing on business owners' ability to make money.
So this is new national conservatives?
Yeah.
With Black Lives Matter?
Well, what I'm saying is the national conservative movement is sort of a way, if I'm reading this article correctly, to try to wrangle all of these Trump voters who were pretty much almost turned racist and anti-Semitic. So the movement is trying to wrangle them back into the fold of not being racist and not being anti-Semitic, but yet still thinking they're edgy and, you know, being able to call themselves nationalists, I guess. And so the criticism coming from the left is that people like this are infringing on the rights of regular Americans to not kill their babies and have like dildos and homo books in schools and all that. That's sort of where we're at.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, the thing is, there's a limit to what we can ever expect from any kind of establishment GOP. I think what we can expect is maybe slightly putting the brakes on, the whole Black Lives Matter, homo, vaccine lockdown, war with China agenda. Maybe slow it down some. Although honestly, a lot of more traditional establishment Democrats would do the same.
Well, these people in the national conservative movement, I mean, they would be openly vocal, you know, against BLM, Antifa, critical race theory. But like I said, it's a way to allow them that vent,
mm-hmm.
regular Americans to vent their opposition to these movements without going into the Jewish question and without being racist, you see. But this article that I pulled up, it says that this event, this national conservatism event, makes its return at the end of the month of October, having migrated further south to Orlando, Florida, and with Trump, at least for now, in the rearview mirror. Judging from its expansive roster, this latest installment should inspire equally strong sentiments from both supporters and detractors. The event has more than 80 speakers, and they include figures such as the controversial investor Peter Thiel.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter Thiel, the billionaire homo that I guess got Zucker Jew, you know,
he's
going
the,
with
the PayPal
money.
Guy, isn't he?
So PayPal, yeah.
And PayPal's going around deplatforming people, left and right.
Yes.
So what do you expect from that?
So they have a gay billionaire who not only financed Facebook and Zucker Jew, mm-hmm. but also is deplatforming people, through PayPal. So that's one of their figureheads.
Okay. Well, listen, we're at the break, but we will. We'll pick that apart when we come back.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. Every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
We are back. So we got the gay PayPal guy. Should we call it Gay Pal? We got the Gay Pal guy, and yeah. He is one of the stars of national conservatism. So, yeah.
So I guess censorship of, you know, right-wingers is part of the platform of national conservatism, since they have the fag Peter Thiel, who also spoke at the Republican convention when Trump was nominated.
Here's the thing: if you got billions of dollars, don't you think you could get a chick?
You would think.
You would think.
You don't want a chick. You want the boys. Because he's a fag. And also, he wants to deplatform all of us, true patriots, from having a voice and getting to, you know, be able to raise money. So. Yeah, this sort of tells you the direction this is all going. But anyway, Peter Thiel, one of the speakers, senatorial candidate, hillbilly elegy, author J.D. Vance, author of the Flight 93 essay, Michael Anton, journalist and leader in charge against critical race theory, Christopher Rufo, and three sitting U.S. senators, including Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, and Mark Rubio.
Okay, so we can see where this is going.
We can see exactly where this is going. And, you know, apparently there's a bunch of rabbis also that are there in attendance. What's that?
Imagine our shock
that rabbis, Yeah. Just to make sure we don't go into any sort of anti-Semitic direction. So this is where they're taking us. Let's see. I'm flipping through this article here. Conference Chairman Christopher DeMuth told Real Clear in a statement that we are building a conservatism that will not only resist but reverse today's horrible trends in politics and culture. Our task begins with nationhood, free and independent nations that cultivate a virtuous public culture. Wait a minute. Virtuous public culture. My comments here. Peter Thiel takes it in the rear. That's virtuous. That's
takes it in the rear virtuously, I guess. I don't know.
And unify rather than divide their citizens and stand against globalist threats to their sovereignty and welfare, conserving the great achievements of Western civilization has now become a matter of day-to-day urgency. In Orlando, we will lay out a path forward that is grounded, rigorous, and widely appealing. This is what I've always tried to figure out. The so-called conservatives, what are they conserving? If they have homos like Thiel, you know, who totally promotes faggotism and deplatforming right-wingers, is that what they're conserving?
Well, yeah, that and, you know, Donald Trump's dream of Israel totally owning Congress again. I don't know if that's his dream, but we did play that clip last night for those of you who didn't hear Donald Trump saying that Israel totally owned Congress 10 or 15 years ago, and rightfully so.
Rightfully so. So we should conserve the Jewish lobby and Jewish power in America.
We have to take Congress back from the squad and give it back to Israel where it belongs.
Yarmon Hazoni, chairman of the Edmund Burke Foundation. Now, remind me to ask you about the Edmund Burke Foundation. He told Real Clear that the conference should be of interest to both nationalist conservatives and anti-Marxist liberals. So in this statement, he addressed those who might criticize the conference as merely an exercise in abstract thought. So we're trying to wrangle nationalist conservatives and anti-Marxist liberals. Are there any anti-Marxist liberals?
Well, I don't know about... I don't even know what liberal means. They're certainly non-Marxist Democrats, but they're retiring. A lot of them are just retiring or throwing up their hands and giving up. But one of the things I had kind of predicted, which may or may not come to pass, a year or so ago, with the Democrats, the Democrat Party in general, going for all of this anti-whiteism and other craziness, was and so, like, if you have kind of a split in the Democratic Party, but also a split in the Republican Party, and this was when Trump actually stood for something. And right now, he really doesn't. I mean, is Trump anything other than just regular Republican?
I wouldn't say regular Republican, but I mean, he's shilling the vax.
Yeah, he's shilling the vax, and he's, you know, saying Israel rightfully owns Congress. I don't know. I mean, there are some Republicans. So to the extent there are Republicans who don't like Trump, and because Trump has been, he's basically stopped. Well, actually, we're up at the break. I'll get to this on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay, we're back. And so what I wanted to say about Trump is Trump, his emphasis has gone almost entirely on the election having been stolen from him. And other things, it seems like he doesn't get covered all that much, really. So I don't hear him that much. But it seems that that is his number one emphasis. And things like immigration or Black Lives Matter, violence or other things are just way down his list of priorities at this point. And election fraud's the big thing. You have people like Liz Cheney and Mitt Romney and Adam Klinghoffer or whatever his name is who try to distance themselves from him. What I thought like a year ago or so, I thought you might have a split in both the Republicans and the Democrats with the mainstream Democrats and mainstream Republicans making common cause. Now I don't see that as much, but what I do see what I predicted on Stormfront, I don't know if I've predicted it here yet, is that the fake Biden administration is doing so poorly and they're doing so badly in the polls that a lot of Democrats are going to be very nervous about having either Joe Biden or chlamydia leading them into the midterm elections, because so many of these people were elected in 2018 in super close races that, you know, wound up going to court court battles and things like that, and you know, where they won probably through cheating and maybe maintained their seats maybe through cheating, I don't know, but aren't going to be able to maintain that level excuse me, election fraud. And I think there a lot of them are nervous, excuse me, and
sneeze out that virus.
Yes, that's right. And so my prediction was that Biden isn't going to, like, he's just, you know, he's got to go meet that famous African-American baseball player from America somewhere, and he won't be able to be president anymore. And chlamydia just won't be accepted. And I predicted that a year from now we're going to have Joe Manchin as president. I won't go into all the details how it'll happen, but...
Well, you know, you talked about an alliance between mainstream Republicans and Democrats, but what we saw since 2015 was an alliance of not mainstream Republicans and Democrats, you know, voting for Trump. Democrats who were moderate and didn't like the way the party was going, and as well as, you know, independents and whatnot, all and libertarians all came over to vote for Trump. This is the audience that they're trying to wrangle. In this national conservatism, they're trying to get these people corralled and keep them from going any more right than what they probably would have went, you know, naturally, organically. And they're trying to wrangle them in this movement. That's what I'm seeing here when I read this. And so they're giving them some fresh red meat by saying, you know, you can protest BLM and critical race theory, but just stay wrangled in this, you know, fence here. Don't go outside of these boundaries. That's sort of what I'm seeing with this national conservative movement is getting control. You know, because when Trump ran and was elected, he unleashed this white beast and of these people who all of a sudden became politically aware and understood that these wars for Israel, and even though they may not have thought of them like that, they just said the wars in the Middle East were nonsense, and they were a fraud, and that we should control immigration and do fair trade instead of free trade. You know, a beast was unleashed here. Pandora's box was opened, and so I see the national conservatism movement as trying to put the lid back on that box.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I see.
Yeah, there's no doubt that Trump's election, as disappointing as his administration was, but Trump's election just caused massive panic. I don't think if Trump had not been elected, I don't think we'd be having a corona apocalypse. I don't think they would have felt the need to do it. They would have just moved, you know, slowly but surely in this direction. I think.
I disagree.
Okay.
Go ahead and finish your thought. I just wanted to let you know. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of people might think, and it might be true, that this was planned and it would have been easy to do with Hillary. And I'm not saying that this is all about getting rid of Trump, although it did play an important role in getting rid of Trump. But I think there was a panic when Trump was elected, and also, you know, Brexit in Europe. And they just started pulling out all the stops. There was a lot of chaos. And so, you know, this is the full court press or whatever sports analogy you want to use. I think they could have just moved, you know, slowly but surely in the direction without having to disrupt things. Because all the disruptions, it is a risk. They've, you know, you got all these people now in 2021 who are talking about anti-white curriculum in schools. And if Hillary had been elected, I don't think they would have had to move this fast. They would have just things would have eventually gone in this direction, but not as chaotically. I think things would have everything the same stuff might have been introduced sooner or later, but more smoothly with less chaos. But I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I mentioned my disagreement. We're not totally in disagreement. Let me see if I can voice this. So I think there was an agenda put in place, and I base this on United Nations agendas 21 and 2030, that they did want to bring us into a global governance, I think that they did want to bring us into this, you know, this COVID control grid where you have to put something in your body in order to function in society. And I think there was a depopulization movement that they wanted to bring about, and that that vaccines were the best way to go. I think that all this was planned, and that Trump was the wrench in the works. Trump who had the backing of that little sliver of right-wing Jewish power that doesn't agree with the system. He took power and totally put a wrench in that works. And so, to your point, that they panicked, they did panic, but I don't think that the whole coronavirus was them panicking. I think that's something they planned all along. That they have accelerated it much further. And I don't think that people, if Trump had never have taken office, the parents at school boards and the people complaining about CRT and all of the such, I don't think their voices would have been heard. I don't think it would have been as big of a deal. And so, like I said, with Trump taking office, it threw a loop in the system, and they had to react. I think their plan all along was to bring us into this control grid that they're bringing us in now. Trump just made it more of a rocky road. I mean, that's what I think, but, you know, I would actually have to defer to you, the political scientist. So.
And we're talking about what if, and it's possible that there's evidence out there of a plan, but it's also possible, even if there is evidence out there of a plan, that we would never see it. Just like they've never disclosed the evidence about the Kennedy assassination, and now we're almost 60 years after the fact.
Well, and I guess what I'm saying is, like, they wanted to take us from point A to point B. Point A is the American mentality in the year 2000. And point B is everyone's under a strict global, like, control grid where your every movement is tracked and you've got to receive things in your body to function. That was their goal, to take us there. Mm-hmm. Trump coming along made that a lot more difficult for them to do and woke so many people up. And now they're like, oh, what do we do now? Look at all these people that are woke up. Mm-hmm. So let's make something like the Conservative National Movement to corral them. That's where I'm at.
Okay. So here's the essence of what I'm saying. So you mentioned the global 2030 plan or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
2030. So, there might have been amongst powerful and influential people a desire to get to the place you're talking about by 2030. Or maybe even later, maybe 2040, 2050, but want to get there. But let's just say 2030, okay? But in 2016, Trump's elected. And so they might have been thinking, okay, you know, because this was, they might have thought, okay, before Trump was elected, back in 2015, before Brexit, they might, you know, it seemed like they were pretty happy. They got their gay marriage and then immediately started going for the tranny stuff. And they might have been thinking, okay, 15 more years, this is where we're going to be at, and it's going to be smooth sailing. You know, got kind of a timetable, smooth sailing. 15 years, we'll get there. And then all of a sudden, you got Brexit, you got Trump elected, and
really?
They thought, well,
Mormon drama?
We might not, you know, if we just try to smooth sail for 15 years, but we've got Trump riling up white nationalism and whatnot. No, we might not be able to sail there smoothly. So we're gonna accelerate things, and the acceleration has its own risks. But with a Trump in office, with this nascent kind of with a nationalism trying to find a cause, there's that smooth sailing scenario is a lot more problematic now. That's the way I'm looking at it. And because here we are, we're 2021, and we're not at 2030, we're at 2021, and they're already mandating vaccines, they're already mandating passports. Not in 2030, but in 2021.
Well, yeah, I think you've drawn me in there. I think we're on the same page now. Yeah, I'm seeing it like that too. there was a goal they wanted to get to, and Trump was a big bump in the road to that goal.
So,
they accelerated it, yeah.
Here's one more a parallel. Okay, let's just say you're James Fields, and you're driving past, what was it, Jackson Park in Charlottesville, and there's Dwayne Dixon, and he's pointing his AR-15 at you, and you say, I want to get out of here, and if I drive at the speed limit down this street, if I drive at 25 miles per hour down this street, I will get out of here. But then you drive two blocks, and all of a sudden, you've got this Antifa guy, and he's smashing at your car with a flagpole, and then you've got this phalange of Black Lives Matter and Antifa blocking your way forward. What do you do? Maybe you accelerate.
All right.
Yeah. I don't know. Was that a good parallel?
It was. Point well taken.
Okay.
Maybe we're seeing things that they didn't want to reveal yet.
Yeah. And of course, it didn't work too well for Fields accelerating, but really, he didn't have much of a choice. Maybe he could have thrown it in reverse the moment he got his attacked by the flagpole guy. But you know,
yeah. So in our situation, the system panicked. The system panicked at Brexit and Trump, and they hit that accelerator.
Yeah, but
now they've got the mess. So.
Getting back to Fields, if he puts it in reverse, if he goes more than one block, then he's got Dwayne Dixon again with the AR-15.
Yeah.
Yep. Pretty good. But anyway, so that's what we've got. We're here. What else do we have in the prep before we run out of time for it?
Oh, well, I'm trying to get back to the prep page. Here we go. Have you seen Kyle? I see Kyle all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
It's for real.
This is from NPR, National Propaganda Radio. The question of self-defense is key in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial's opening arguments. Updated November 2nd, 2021 at 4:39 p.m. Eastern Time. Lawyers gave opening state arguments and called the first witness in the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse, who, at 17 years old, shot and killed two people at a protest last year in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Don't you like how the National Propaganda Radio frames this? Like, this kid just got out there and just shot people who were protesting against against racial oppression. This kid's, I don't agree with you in protesting racial oppression. I'm going to shoot you. That's the framing. But in the videos, we know what happened. Is that Rittenhouse was defending businesses that were being burned and looted, and three Antifa viciously attacked him, and he defended his very life. His very life was on the line. They tried to bash his head in.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, this, you know, in parallel with the Charlottesville trials, I mean, there's a lot on the line here. It looks like that they're really going to try to take Rittenhouse out and put him in prison until he's in his midlife. And that's horrible.
So there are these three people he shot. Two died, and one, I don't know whatever happened to his arm, but it was pretty messed up. Some of them have pistols on them?
Yeah, I think at least two of them were convicted sex offenders.
Two of them were like
pedophile
sex offenders, but they were armed, weren't they?
Mm-hmm. They were armed. One guy was holding the gun. Was holding a weapon.
Mm.
And this is all in the video. So, you know, if they convict Rittenhouse of these charges, and let's see, seven charges he faces. Two counts of homicide. One count of attempted homicide. And so, you know, they're pushing for a conviction on this. I mean, this could very well be a, what's it called, a banana court? What's the word? Banana trial?
Kangaroo court in a banana republic.
Banana republic and kangaroo court. There you go.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're serious about this. And his legal team, which at one time, you know, Mike Lindell was on board, the MyPillow dude, I guess. Lindell's backed out. Like, his legal team fell apart just before this jury selection and opening statements happened. So, I mean, I guess somebody got to his legal team. I don't know if this kid's got a good legal team. I don't know what he's got. But there he is, just hanging out there. And the system ready to just completely tear him apart.
Yeah.
To try to send a message to all the rest of us.
Oh, well, while we're up at the break, we'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Welcome back to the show. Okay, we had originally recorded this show last night, but we are replacing our last segment because we now know who did win the, at least the Virginia race. Terry McAuliffe lost. Youngkin is declared the winner by the AP, and they get to decide these things. I don't know if there will be any shenanigans moving forward, but everybody is saying that Youngkin won. New Jersey at this point, I think, is still undecided. But what do you think about this, Jeremy?
So my initial take, just like it was last night when we were recording, is that this is a tremendous
shot in the arm of goodness of for everyone who has pushed back against this virus hoax, against CRT. This is a good thing, a morale booster for all the parents that showed up at school board meetings. And I think that we have a victory in that. And will the Republican governor actually do anything? Do Republicans ever actually do anything? No, because politics are fake and gay and we don't care about like, are they going to do anything? Because they're not. Conservatives are not going to do anything. They're not going to conserve Jack Dammit. But what we do have is a good morale victory here. And that's the way I'm taking it. What do you think?
I think that's how you have to take it. Terry McAuliffe is one of the most repugnant people. He is being absolutely disgraced. It's coming in the middle of the trial. This could also impact the trial, you know, because Terry McAuliffe played a very nefarious role in the events of Charlottesville when he was governor 4 years ago. And hopefully this will help out in that respect as well. Youngkin was a former CEO of the Carlyle Group. The Carlyle Group was this investment group that George H.W. Bush parachuted into after he lost his re-election bid. So there's no reason to expect anything from Youngkin, but the humiliation of Terry McAuliffe is sweet victory, and it is a morale booster. If this Yeah, and if this guy, Phil Murphy in New Jersey, is similarly humiliated, that would be wonderful. I didn't know nothing about this Cherimondi or whatever his challenger's name is, but I don't have any expectations for him.
Well, a message also was sent to the establishment that, you know, we're tired of this. And also, they apparently didn't hoax this one. And if they tried to hoax it, you know, it didn't work. So maybe there's hope for gubernatorial elections. That's another win. Again, not that Youngkin's going to do anything, but these are all good signs that there could be a way forward politically.
So if you look at these states, Virginia didn't have like a massive, big black population center that could shut down the count and then ship in like huge numbers of new votes the way Philadelphia, Detroit, Atlanta, and Milwaukee could. And really, you know, Newark is a big black center, but I don't think they can't necessarily replicate what they did last year anywhere they want to. I'm not saying it's gone away. I'm not saying they can't replicate it, but it's not there for their beck and call. But we are at the end of our show. But thank you very much for joining me, Jeremy.
Thank you, Patrick, and you stay classy, my friend.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Beagle Radio.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.